Alice Winston may not fit the classic image of a train conductor. At just over 5 feet, her curly hair peeks from under her conductor's hat as she smiles and jokes about her height.
They said I was too short, I couldn't reach the mercy brake handle, and I said I could jump and get to it, so what's the problem?
Winston has seen the ebb and flow of ridership during her 18 years with the company. Lately, she's been working the Acela Express train from Washington, D.C. to Boston.
In the past, when you board a train and you have plenty of seats, now, especially on the Acela Express, I mean, pretty much every, by the time we get to Philly, this train will be sold out.
Yes, ma'am.
Are there more seats past the first class
is the very last on the train.
Sure enough, after a stop in Philadelphia, Alice has to search several cars up to help a rider find a seat. Amtrak ridership has been increasing steadily for the past 6 years. This year was the most significant jump, with ridership up about 11%. Spokesperson Karina Romero attributes about half of that increase to high gas prices.
The other half is people once again looking for an alternative, maybe congestion. They don't want to hassle with flying. They're just looking for an alternative, and increasingly they're turning to Amtrak.
So Amtrak wants to use the $13 billion budget increase from Washington for repairs, upgrades, and expansion of services to accommodate these additional riders. Randall O'Toole of the Cato Institute is one of many critics who say that Amtrak has outlived its usefulness and shouldn't get any more money from the government.
Driving has decreased and Amtrak ridership has increased, but the gain in Amtrak ridership has only been a very, very tiny proportion of the decrease in driving. Very few people are saying, oh, gas prices are gone up, so I'm going to take Amtrak instead of driving.
O'Toole recently published a paper called Rails Won't Save America. In it, he takes on some of the central points Amtrak supporters use to encourage more investment. For example, he doesn't believe that the increases in ridership validate subsidies to Amtrak.
Amtrak is an extremely insignificant kind of transportation in the United States. It carries about 0.1% of all travel. And so, you know, even if they doubled it, twice nothing is still nothing.
But Amtrak's Romero points out that if you viewed Amtrak like an airline, it would have the eighth largest number of passengers served, carrying 26 million people last year. The Acela Express is Amtrak's fastest train. Moving quickly through the cars, Conductor Winston rapidly punches tickets and labels seats. She's surrounded almost entirely by business people in suits and ties, busily typing on computers or Blackberries. The tickets on this train can cost up to $250 one way, so it's not always cheaper than flying.
And most of the people that ride the Acela Express are business people. They have things, they have places to go, people to see.
Other trains can cost significantly less than a plane ticket. Randall O'Toole attacks the cost-saving argument in his paper, saying even if the prices are lower to travel on trains, both passengers and other taxpayers are subsidizing those cheaper prices.
So the total subsidy to Amtrak per passenger mile is roughly 60 to 100 times greater than the subsidy to driving.
But passenger Erin Eccles, on her way from New York to Boston, can relate to those who say Amtrak is still a good alternative.
I dropped my daughter at school, hopped on the subway, took the express subway to Penn Station, was there in about 10 minutes. I find it extremely convenient.
Amtrak spokesperson Karina Romero warns supporters and critics that even a successful Amtrak needs outside help.
Revenues are very strong right now, but we're not profitable. Rail travel anywhere in the world is more like a public service, so we're going to need funding from the federal government. We'll never be self-sustaining. There's no self-sustaining railroad anywhere in the world. They all are supported.
O'Toole points out that while some Americans may envy the high-speed and far-reaching rail systems in other parts of the world, they may not want to accept the higher taxes that people pay for it. Take Europe, for example.
The difference between America and Europe is about 6% on take trains in Europe and virtually none in the United States. So we could spend $1 trillion on rail transportation, maybe get 6% of people out of their cars.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Have your attention, please.
Conductor Winston recognizes that $13 billion is a lot of money, but she thinks people will like Amtrak if they give it a try.
Once someone gets in the train and they're happy with they're content with the service, they're going to recommend a friend. And I think it's just a piggyback, you know what I'm saying? A domino effect, so to speak.
And she believes that if that strategy works, Amtrak's numbers are likely to continue their rise.
And again to all, have a safe and pleasant day.
For Intern Edition, I'm Kimberly Adams.